Welcome into My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Avari here with your hosts, Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray, and this is your starting five. But let's not talk fives. Let's talk first. First of all, today is the first game of the World Series, Dodgers-Rays Game 1. The Dodgers are the moneyline favorites tonight and the favorite to win it all. 82% of the moneyline handle at BetMGM is on the Dodgers tonight. Matt, Tim, who do you like?
Full game, I don't have a play. I do lean towards the Dodgers early on, just because if you look at how these two starting pitchers have pitched in the postseason, Kershaw tends to fall apart later in games. Mm-hmm. That sixth inning is a massive bugaboo. Just look at the Braves game. Tyler Glasnow, through this postseason, remember, this is all small sample size, but Glasnow has not pitched very effectively early in games, given up a couple runs, a bit susceptible to homers. So I lean Dodgers early, but once you get into the bullpen, and depending on, Matt, when Dave Roberts decides to pull Clayton Kershaw, that is the big question mark when it comes to tonight's game.
Yeah, when he pulls Kershaw, it's like pulling the pin on a hand grenade, because when Dave Roberts goes to the bullpen, you can see an implosion. I don't think this game is priced wrong. Tonight, the Dodgers anywhere from 150 to 160. With Kershaw on the mound, I think that's the right price, because the Dodgers actually hit right-handers pretty well, and I think they'll tag – Glasnow a couple times tonight. So it's not a bad matchup for the Dodgers. I did not bet this game. I did bet the Rays in the series plus 185, and that's the only bet I have at this moment.
Why'd you take the Rays in the series?
I think you got better starting pitching, better bullpen, better fundamental baseball team. Actually, the Rays, they win with small ball a lot of times. They won with the home run in the American League Championship Series and against the Yankees, really. But I also think they have an edge at manager. Kevin Cash is better than Dave Roberts at making the right moves at critical times. Just small edges with the Rays, and plus 185, Danielle, I really thought was value here, because I expected to get about plus 130, 140 with the Rays in the series, and I had to take what I thought, a perceived value of about 50 cents.
And I also think for the Rays, if you were to bet like Matt, and I don't have a play on the series, but I would lean towards the Rays if you could have got it yesterday at plus 185 like Matt did. I think the fact that we go back to a normal schedule, which is two off, three off, two, unlike what we saw in the CS and the DS where it was all the way straight through, that is an advantage to the pitching, because you look at the starting three, the top of the rotation there for the Rays of Snell, Glasnow, and Morton has been tremendous so far in this postseason. And then you get into their bullpen, and Fairbanks has been pretty solid. He's a flamethrower. They have guys that they can rely on, and now you can rest them a little bit more. You're not going potentially seven straight days. So I do think the pitching gets a bit of an edge to the Rays because of the schedule going back to a normal two off, three off, two.
Danielle went to UCLA, so she's obviously pulling for the Dodgers.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
But she's from the Bay Area, which is a bitter. I mean,
I'm a friend and a fan to many sports teams. this would be the Dodgers' first World Series win in 32 years, and the Rays' first win ever. Moving on to our next first, Tua Tagovailoa. It's Tua time. He's getting his first start in Week 8. The Dolphins have a bye this week. How do you see this affecting this Dolphins team?
It's a bit peculiar, to be honest. The Dolphins are playing pretty good football right now. I know the three of us and eight others might give the Jets a good game, but they crushed the Jets. They're 3-3. They're right now second in the AFC East and have a legitimate shot to make the playoffs. And we hadn't seen anything from Tua. And also, Ryan Fitzpatrick was actually playing pretty well. So I understand the timing, Danielle, because it's a bye week. You get a little more time there. And also remember this, that the Tua is a lefty. So you have to really tweak your entire, your protections.
That's
and,
a great
and your
point.
Offense. So it is, it's a little odd. If they were 1-5, 2-4, sure. But they're 3-3 right there in the thick of it for a playoff spot. So I'm a little surprised at the move.
Yeah, they're one game back in the division. This move is being made now because of the bye week.
Right.
And that's obviously gives them more time to make the adjustment. Fitzpatrick, 70% completions, 10 TDs, 7 picks. He's played great. Danielle, the Dolphins are one game behind the Bills in the AFC East. They got a shot to win this division. I do think the Miami organization wants to find out exactly what they've got
for
in Tua. and get him out there in the field. And the bye week is a perfect time. Even though it feels like a strange time to make this move, the bye week's a good time to do it.
That's right. Well, we have more of My Guys coming your way. Stick with us. Welcome into My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Avari here with your hosts, Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray. We have a great first hour for you. Mike Farron will be joining us, host of the Diamondbacks and MLB Network Radio. We also have sportsbook director from DraftKings, Johnny Avello, in the first hour. But first, Matt, I'm dying to know what you thought of this Monday night football game.
I think it was a disaster in Dallas. How about them Cowboys? Yeah. Man, that's it's unbelievable. The Cowboys are 2-4 and look this bad, and they're in first place in the NFC East. You know, I saw a report on NFL Network this morning that some Cowboys players say this coaching staff is unprepared. They're not good at their jobs. I think you can say the same thing about the players.
Yep.
Last night, yeah, I don't think this coaching staff's doing a very good job. When you have Kirk racing down the field for 80-yard touchdown catches and the Cowboys blowing coverages, and they look so bad defensively. You've got to make a change at defensive coordinator first. But it wasn't the coach's fault that Zeke Elliott coughed up two fumbles. It wasn't the coach's fault that Michael Gallup dropped a touchdown pass. It was right in his hands at the goal line. There were so many mistakes, and I don't see great effort from the Cowboys either. I think last night, Tim, what happened is Zeke coughs up those fumbles. It leads to a 14-0 lead for the Cardinals, and it obviously made it a whole different ball game last night. The Cowboys were playing reasonably well until that point where Zeke lost the first fumble. Then it, Cardinals cash it in 7-0. Then he fumbles again. They cash it in 14-0, and then the game just kind of fell apart. It was like the snowball effect, yeah. And it got pretty ugly.
Yeah, Zeke. I don't know what is wrong with Zeke right now. You know, you give him. They were really trying to feed it to him early, and you know, Matt.
Feed me.
Yeah. I wanted to do that. Yeah. You know, with a fumble there. This offensive line, though, is a big issue, too. I mean, Lael Collins is out for the year. Zach Martin gets lost in that game as well. So this is Tyron Smith also gone for the year. So, you know, Andy Dalton was under constant pressure. The Cardinals were just dialing up all sorts of blitzes. But the defense is an absolute disaster. It's a train wreck. And what you try to do if you're the Cowboys is outscore your opponent. And when you're coughing the ball up and dropping touchdown passes, you have no shot to win. And they got absolutely embarrassed at home. And this is now an 0-6 ATS football team.
Yeah, but 2-4 straight up in first place.
And first place.
Got to be positive.
Yep. 15, I believe the record now in the NFC East, Matt, five, 18-1. That is the combined record.
And three of those wins came against division opponents.
Yes.
I was watching the game last night with Tony Miller, the Golden Nugget sportsbook director. He's a lifelong Cowboys fan. Tony just got out of the hospital a few weeks ago, had the COVID. And, you know, all Tony wanted was a Cowboys win last night. That's all he wanted.
Me too.
He just didn't want to see and had to watch his team get embarrassed. It was actually one of the worst, if not, this is the worst Dallas Cowboys defense I've seen in my lifetime. And that performance last night was one of the worst I've ever seen just in one single game. You just didn't see the effort on defense. Cowboys don't look like a well-coached team. And how about this? I think I texted you this last night. What is Mike McCarthy doing? It's 21-3.
Oh, jeez.
You have to go for it on 4th and 10 in Cardinals territory. And you trot out the kicker for a 58-yard field goal. You know, at that point, if I'm Jerry Jones, I'll just say, all right, we're making a coaching change. This guy's a doofus.
Six
what
games
are
in,
you doing?
We're done. Oh, well, you know, I do wonder because, you know, Mike McCarthy, remember, He went to Pro Football Focus in the offseason. He became Analytical Mike after, you know, his year off. So maybe the numbers, Matt, told him, you got to go kick the field goal here from 58 yards.
Well, you know, Tim, if you make it 21-6, then it's a two-score
game.
That's
right. That's right.
That's what the analytics told him. This from ESPN Stats and Info. The 38-10 loss to the Cardinals last night matches the Cowboys' worst loss at AT&T Stadium. 37-9 was the previous worst in 2017 against the Eagles. This is a 96th game the Cowboys have played at Jerry's World, including the playoffs. And despite the loss, the Cowboys in first place in the East with a 2-4 record. The first team with a losing record to have a division lead through week 6 since the 1970 merger. And you know what? The leader, this is going to be true going forward, because the leader in the East is going to have a losing record for a long time.
Yeah. We talked about it, you know, we talked about it on the show, and we got to get to Mike Farron here in just a second. Yeah. The Sunday preview show that we, you know, me and Amal Shaw and Danielle are a part of, we talked about after week one, would it be an 8-8 or worse record for the winner in the NFC East? Now it looks like almost a lock that it'll be 8-8 or worse.
Yeah. The Eagles could win the division. That's 7-8-1.
Easily.
Yes, you would think. All right, let's get to Mike Farron, Diamondbacks host, MLB Network Radio. And Mike, you watched the Arizona Cardinals crush the Cowboys last night in Dallas, and now you are preparing for the World Series. How do you like this matchup? The top seed in each division, the Rays and the Dodgers. It's kind of a David Goliath scenario when you look at the team payrolls, but the Dodgers have not won a World Series since 1988. How do you see the matchup, and who do you favor?
Maybe from a payroll side, it looks like David versus Goliath, but I wouldn't say that that's necessarily the case in terms of the overall talent. I mean, listen, the Dodgers are the deepest team in baseball. They have the best collection of offensive players, 1 to 13 in this case, and they have a very deep pitching staff. But the Rays can match them and maybe exceed them by a small margin on the pitching side, and their pitching is good enough, and they are really good at not giving teams multiple looks on consecutive days out of their bullpen, which can make things very difficult, even for as good an offense as the Dodgers are. Dodgers have a clear advantage when it comes to their position players in this. That, to me, is the biggest difference in this, but Tampa Bay's pitching is good enough that they can shut them down. And just like in the NHL where you can ride a hot goaltender, there's no reason why you couldn't ride a hot pitching staff to a World Series championship.
Talking to Mike Farron, you could follow Mike on Twitter, @Mike_Farron. Clayton Kershaw gets the nod tonight for the Dodgers. Great regular season, but here we are in the postseason and questions about what he's going to be able to do. And when you look at it, Mike, as the game goes on, that third time through the lineup, that's where Kershaw gets tagged a bit. You know, that happened against the Braves in that sixth inning where he fell apart. What do you expect from Kershaw, and what do you expect Dave Roberts to do with Kershaw as if he gets into the sixth or later?
You know, I'm a little bit tired of the Kershaw legacy discussion because this guy is unbelievable. Like, this is one of my favorite statistics about any player. So the live ball era started in 1920, right? That's when dingers really started to happen. So it's 101 seasons of that. Of pitchers that have thrown 2,000 or more innings, Clayton Kershaw has the lowest earned run average. So think about that. Mm-hmm. In the last 100 years of Major League Baseball, 101 seasons, the guy with the lowest career ERA is Kershaw. And if you back it off to, I think, 1,500, it's only Mariano Rivera who's lower. So Kershaw has had plenty of good postseason starts. In fact, he was dominant in the wild card round. He pitched pretty well against the Padres in the division series. You know, I do think that the part of his struggles have been a stubbornness to stick with the ace versus going to the bullpen. Now, some of that in this previous LCS may have been because of the nature of playing every day for 7 consecutive games and trying to preserve the bullpen a little bit. Maybe that ended up impacting him some in that. Generally, Kershaw has pitched well early on. There are very few instances where he's really gotten knocked around early. I think Milwaukee in the LCS in 18 was one. I think in game 6 of the NLCS in 16 at Wrigley, he got knocked around. But generally, it's up to manager decision. And so I think what will be curious is, as he reaches that line the third time, because Tampa Bay's offense has not been doing that well, how have those bats at the top of the order looked the first 2 times against him? How is his command? How are they reacting to his slider? And then I think you have to take it batter to batter. But I also think with the off days, it's a lot easier to go with a quick hook if you're Dave Roberts, because you're going to have more rest built in from your relief pitching.
You know, one prop, Matt, we'll maybe hit on later is the strikeout prop for Kershaw, because if you look at his strikeout numbers, Mike, they're not monster in the postseason. Last 10 starts, he's only gone 7 or more strikeouts twice in his last 10 playoff starts. That's dating back to the World Series of 2017. But then you look at the Rays, and I believe they've struck out 150 times already this postseason, and right around 500 plate appearances, Mike. So do you think that Kershaw can get some high strikeout totals, or the total is sitting there at 6.5 strikeouts for tonight?
I mean, I think it's entirely possible. I mean, I think the Tampa Bay lineup does strike out. I think some of their statistical success against lefties that you look at as a group is a little bit overstated. It's kind of carried by a couple of left-on-left guys who had big success in small samples. And I do think that they're going to be susceptible to Kershaw's slider. You know, I haven't seen a lot of men, seen him in a long time. So I think this is a good matchup for him. You know, the Rays, I think if you're going to attack them, it's best to do it with left-handed pitching overall. You know, he's not going to face Meadows tonight. Meadows isn't in the starting lineup. There's only one lefty early. But Rosarena, Renfro, Margot, those are guys with swing and miss in their game as well. And I think he can exploit that for sure.
Mike, when you were watching the Rays in the American League playoffs, did you notice that they kind of changed the way they played? They relied more on the home run ball in the ALCS because this is a team that really excels with the small ball approach, and they scored a majority of their runs off homers. Do you think they got to play small ball to beat Clayton Kershaw?
I don't know if it's necessary. I mean, I think it probably comes down to who hits a key home run, you know, when you're dealing with the two elite level pitchers like Kershaw and Glass now. And I think we can put Kershaw back in that elite category based on the way he pitched over the regular season. You know, I do think that there's this perception of them being this, you know, underdog and small ball team, but they certainly have power. They steal bases. I mean, that's one thing that they do. Mm-hmm. And it is something to keep an eye on tonight with Barnes behind the plate, because he's not as good throwing as Will Smith, their other catcher, is for the Dodgers. And so maybe they can manufacture a run here or there, but they're not a team that walks very much. They're going to count on home runs. They're going to count on, they're not going to be a team that singles you to death. They're not going to bunt guys over. They're going to have to create base running opportunities. And then they're going to have to get a big hit and a big extra base hit with men on. And the way they have the lineup stacked today with guys like Renfro and Rosarena in there, there's a little bit more power from the right side.
All right, how about the Dodgers lineup? I'm looking at that now. Betts, Seager, Turner, Muncy, Will Smith, Bellinger, Chris Taylor, Jock Peterson, Austin Barnes. You've got a chance to see the Dodgers a lot this year. How do you feel like they hit right-handers with that lineup?
Really well. Yeah. I mean, they hit everybody well. I think if you're going to attack them, I think, you know, going to lefties is the best way to do it, because I think you can negate Bellinger, Muncy, Seager just a little bit. But Betts really brings them a lot of balance. And A.J. Pollock has crushed lefties in his 2 years at the Dodgers. He's a very aggressive hitter. And so there are times where he will go through skids, but he is a dangerous, dangerous guy. And so I think, you know, listen, they hit righties well. Now, they haven't faced many guys that have Tyler Glasnow's stuff. Denelson Lamet with the Padres is probably the closest to what they faced in this. And, you know, Lamet was a Cy Young candidate before he got hurt at the end of the season. So, but they have a little bit of experience there. I don't know if it's necessarily fair to talk about their numbers against righties when you have somebody who's throwing 100 miles an hour on almost every pitch, but I think that they're going to put together a good approach. I think what will be really interesting is how they're able to lay off his breaking ball, because they tend to not chase pitches out of the zone, and that's one of their greatest strengths as an offense.
You could follow Mike on Twitter once again at Mike_Farren, host for MLB Network Radio, also for the Diamondbacks. How do you see this series, Mike, playing out? You know, it's the Rays are the underdog in this series. It goes back to normal format with a couple off days in there. So does that benefit the Rays?
I don't know that it necessarily benefits the Rays. I think it may actually benefit the Dodgers a little bit. The Dodgers are plenty deep in the pitching, and with two off days in there, you can shorten your rotation some, and your bullpen rotation some, in that you don't necessarily have to play it like you're using your entire roster. You can treat it more like the playoffs in the NBA, where you might go, you know, seven pitchers deep, or if that. And so I think that negates some of the depth that the Rays have. I think the Rays still have an advantage on the pitching side, but I think it's minimal. The advantage is far greater for the Dodgers offensively, and that to me, I think, is the difference maker in this series. I think LA wins it. I think they'll finally get a World Series championship for the first time since '88, and I think it's the strength of their lineup that will really prove to be the difference.
All right, so your money is on the Dodgers. If my co-host Tim Murray gave you a stack of $100 bills to bet the World Series MVP, who would you bet to win the MVP? Do you think it's going to be Mookie Betts? Or do you like the Dodgers to win?
Well, let me just add to this that and I'm a baseball team employee, so this is merely for entertainment.
Absolutely,
of course.
I'm not allowed to bet on baseball at all. So merely for entertainment purposes, this is monopoly money we're talking about here. Let me go a little bit off the radar because I think that it's more fun when you look at the guys who aren't necessarily the superstars. Will Smith is a really good hitter, and you'll notice that he's DHing on a day that he's not catching. He's an important piece of that lineup. Keep an eye on him because he's going to be in some spots to drive in key runs. If he has success, I would not be surprised if he's the one that hoists the World Series MVP trophy.
All right, how about that? A long shot pick for World Series MVP. Will Smith at 20-1. Mike Farron, D-backs host, MLB Network Radio. Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate the time today.
Hey, I appreciate you letting me pocket some of Tim's money without having to pay
for it. Exactly. Fork it over, Tim.
I'll Venmo that to you right now.
I'm waiting with bated breath.
Tim, you got an MVP bet?
Let's go Justin Turner, just because I got to go with my ginger brother there.
Okay. How about Charlie Morton, 15-1?
That's
he wins game sevens, right?
There you go. And he's been pitching, of the three in that rotation, he's been pitching the best for the Rays.
All right, quick break here on My Guys in the Desert. We come back, NFL betting talk. Stay tuned.
With Big Ten back in action this weekend, get ready for all big games with Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Take advantage of Big Return Special and make your first deposit of $50 to get $100 in free bets. If you're already a member, you can enjoy all our daily special bets exclusively on Bet Rivers mobile app. As always, get great customer service and only one-time playthrough at Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. First-time depositors and new users only, must be 21 or older, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. This is My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Avari, here with your hosts, Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray.
All right, let's get back to the NFL. Tim, you sent me this from Albert Breer on Twitter, this graphic, most points allowed, first six games of a season in NFL history. The Dallas Cowboys tied for fourth on the list. The Baltimore Colts in 1950 allowed 235 points. Oakland Raiders in 61, 228. Washington in 1954, 223. And the Giants and the 2020 Dallas Cowboys, Giants of 1948, and the Cowboys of 2020, 218 points allowed through the first six games. And the Cowboys haven't even faced an offense like the Chiefs. Yesterday, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs beat the Bills 26-17 on the road. Bad result for the books.
Yep.
We had Jimmy Vaccaro in here, Vinny, yesterday talking about this, and this line was bet up as high as 6. 5.5 closing number in a lot of spots, but the Chiefs win by 9, stays well under the total of 55. What was interesting about this game, Tim, is not really Patrick Mahomes. He was 21 for 26, 2 touchdowns, no picks. How about the rushing attack of the Chiefs? 46 carries, 245 yards, most under Andy Reid in Kansas City. 5.3 per carry, and none of those yards came from Le'Veon Bell, who obviously can't start practicing till this week with KC.
Yeah, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming out of LSU, he's not really thought of, Matt, as an every-down back, right? He's a great, catches the ball out of the backfield, is multifaceted. He had 26 carries yesterday for a 161, 6.2 yards per clip. So, yeah, Kansas City saw a weakness there yesterday and just rammed it down their throat. It was raining. It was an ugly game. We were watching it here in studio. Really, right from the outset, it felt like the under was the right side. That comes home with relative ease. But not the prettiest game, but still, the Chiefs get it done. They win this game pretty comfortably. I felt like the score wasn't even as it never felt really in doubt for the Chiefs.
Would you say Josh Allen coming back to earth a little bit? He threw a pick, yes, 14 for 27, 122 yards, 4.5 yards per attempt, two TDs, one pick. Josh Allen also had eight carries for 42 yards. And the Bills' defense, I think, has been a little bit disappointing. I thought that in the first couple weeks. And Buffalo yesterday, well, you know, it's KC. The Chiefs are going to get their yards. But to get run over like that right on the ground, we don't expect to see that from the Buffalo defense.
No, not at all. And to your point about Josh Allen, you had to give him credit for the way that he was playing the first four games, because he was playing on an MVP level those first four games. He was worthy of the discussion, but you had to realize the company that he was in, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, it wasn't going to continue. He's not there yet. He's gotten much improved, but you know, you and I joked about the arm strength. He was overthrowing a lot of guys yesterday, 14 to 27, and now he's had three picks in the last two games, Matt, against two quality opponents. Look at the first four games of the Bills season. Jets, Dolphins, Rams, that was a solid win, but still probably if there wasn't a questionable call there at the end of the game, maybe should have lost that game. They beat the Raiders on the road. That was a nice result. Looks better after the Chiefs. And then he played two really good teams, and they've struggled against those two teams. So we'll see about this Bills team. Fortunately for them, Matt, they're in the AFC East, and I would still consider them the favorite to win that division.
All right, the Bills 4-2 with a point differential of minus 12.
Phew.
The Dolphins are 3-3. They are plus 47. Patriots 2-3 at minus 1. Jets 0-6 at minus 110. We'll talk with Ben Fox of VSiN in the second hour about the Jets and their prospects.
Who would you say right now, you look at the odds we're about to throw up? I mean, it's still the Bills. The Dolphins at 7-1, you would say that took a significant hit today with Tua going in as the starting quarterback.
I like the Dolphins' chances to win a lot better with Fitzmagic.
I mean, Ryan,
even though he runs hot and cold, he's been hot lately, and the Dolphins are 3-3. Odd time to make a quarterback change, but when you really look into it, you say the bye week, if you're going to make a change, okay, I understand that part of it. NFL MVP, Russell Wilson at DraftKings minus 125, Mahomes up 4-1, Rodgers at 6-1. He took a little bit of a hit this week.
Yeah, a little bit.
Josh Allen's fallen all the way to 33-1. No surprise. We said he was not going to hang in that MVP race. How about
Big Ben, 28-1.
How about Derrick Henry at 25-1? Those guys go head-to-head this week. Steelers and Titans. Quick break here. My guys in the desert. We come back. We're going to talk some college football.
For VSiN on Tuesday, October 27th, we will be live streaming the entire Circa grand opening event exclusively on VSiN.com. Starting at 10 p.m. Eastern and going all through the night leading up to the first broadcast of Follow the Money from our new studios inside the Circa Sportsbook at 7 a.m. Eastern on Wednesday, October 28th. That's 12 hours of live insider coverage from the Circa grand opening event on the 27th and 28th, all for free on VSiN.com. Join Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, the VSiN team, and a guest list full of Las Vegas icons and celebrities for all the festivities. Starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, all for free, only on VSiN.com. Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Alvari, here with your hosts, Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray.
All right, it's time for your weekly Fighting Irish 2 Deep report with Tim Murray, your host. And Tim, the Irish opened as 8-point favorites this week at Pittsburgh. We don't know if Kenny Pickett is going to play. If he's out, it's going to be Joey Yellen again. He turned in, I guess, a decent performance in that loss at Miami, 31-19. By the way, that fell in the middle. That number was anywhere from 10.5 to 13, and it lands on 12 last week. But Pat Narduzzi, another guy who's not a genius when it comes to game management, kicking field goals. And Notre Dame is bet up to a 10.5-point favorite at most spots. The total is really low in this game, 43.5. Narduzzi does have a pretty good defensive team here.
Yep.
Irish have struggled getting the ball downfield, as we talked about a lot. Ian Book just doesn't have the explosive playmakers he had last year. He doesn't have Chase Claypool, doesn't have a tight end like Cole Kmet. Is this number too high? Irish 10.5 at Pitt?
It seems a little high.
Like I said, Circa opened eight, so up 3.5.
I tell you what, the play I would have made was it opened 48.5. I would have loved the under. Now it's at 43.5. I do think Notre Dame is going to start to get healthier at wide receiver. They have to figure something out because the big game is looming 2 weeks away. By the way, the look ahead line, Matt, for Notre Dame and Clemson at DraftKings. Clemson minus 15.5 right now. Uh-huh. It is continuing to rise, and rightfully so. My question is, how is Pittsburgh going to score, especially if Kenny Pickett's not out there? I think Notre Dame's defense, the way that they played last week, everything that came away from the Notre Dame-Louisville game was Notre Dame's inability to score, right? Which is fair, totally fair. Louisville's defense is not very good. But Louisville's offense is solid, and Notre Dame completely suffocated them outside of one drive at the end of the at the beginning of the first half. So I would have loved to play the under here. It's gone down 5 points. I think this is a 24-13 type of game, 24-14 type of game.
Wow, right on the number.
Pat Narduzzi,
take a stand there on the spread.
You like that? Yeah, that's why people tune into this show.
I guess you're saying the under is the better bet.
I would.
But like you said, you've lost 5 points of value. Essentially, this total opened to 48, 48.5.
I think I was curious where this game would open. I thought this game was going to open under a touchdown, and I would have been real skittish and worried, like, oh, no. But I think Pittsburgh has really struggled offensively. You know, the big thing for Notre Dame is Braden Lindsey and Kevin Austin. They're two wide receivers. Can they get this thing going? They need to incorporate the tight ends more. So, yeah, if I had to play, I would lean Notre Dame. I would lean Notre Dame in laying the points, but certainly not one that I'm ultra confident in. Under 10, I liked it early for Notre Dame to win this game by 10 or 11.
Yeah, it doesn't sound real optimistic for Kenny Pickett to be on the field for Pitt this week, but if he plays, obviously gives the Panthers a better shot, and I think that number would come down a little bit from 10.5. I agree with you. It looks like a pretty defensive-oriented game, but, man, 43.5 is a low total.
Yeah, it's a very low total. And, you know, I always feel like Pittsburgh comes up on Notre Dame's schedule in a tricky spot. I think this is a good spot for Notre Dame to get Pittsburgh because they just had that eked out win. People are saying, oh, Notre Dame's not very good. I think this is I wouldn't say buy low spot because you still have to lay 10.5 points on the road, Matt. Uh-huh. But I think this is a spot where Notre Dame is going to have their total attention for Pittsburgh. Clemson isn't, you know, 2 weeks away, so it's not a look ahead spot. So I think Notre Dame is going to have their full attention for Pittsburgh on Saturday.
I almost feel like you're betting the Irish off a loss. I like to bet good teams off a loss, even though they beat Louisville 12-7. I think Brian Kelly's going to use that.
Agreed.
This week. And like you said, they're going to be focused. The Irish will. And you got that Clemson game looming on November 7th. We were talking about the look-ahead line a couple weeks ago, maybe 7.5, 8. It's up to 15.5.
15.5.
Okay, South Carolina, LSU, 361, 362 on the rotation. And Jimmy Ott of ESPN Radio Baton Rouge has told me that Miles Brennan is unlikely to play in this game for the Tigers. LSU a 7-point favorite. Total is 56.5, 57. I think Tigers are going to have to go with a couple of quarterbacks, including a freshman, if Miles Brennan does not play. Now, Tim, you sent in your picks for Point Spread Weekly, our college best bets. We do those on Tuesdays, which is very early in the era of COVID. A lot of things can change over the course of a week. But right now, you're on South Carolina plus 7. Is that with knowledge that Miles Brennan might not play for LSU?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. I think Miles Brennan not playing. And how can you lay this many points? I know it's at home, but it's not like it's going to be the Death Valley that we know and love. It's not a night game, you know, with a full packed house in Baton Rouge. You'll be some fans there, but it's not going to be anything too intimidating, Matt. And South Carolina has looked pretty solid. You know, they blow out Vanderbilt. Who doesn't blow out Vanderbilt outside of Texas A&M? And then they beat Auburn last week. So I think this is an interesting spot for South Carolina. And I can't trust LSU at this point in time, Matt. With that defense, Bo Pelini's stubbornness, they get blown out by Missouri. Maybe the 2 weeks off is what they needed. They get the game postponed last week against Florida. But I just felt like this was a spot with Miles Brennan unlikely to go. Getting a touchdown, I felt like South Carolina was the right side here.
All right, I took 3.5 with Minnesota against Michigan. This is game 385, 386. I made the number Michigan minus one. It got bet up. Some Obviously, some early bettors like the Wolverines in this spot. Gophers off an 11-2 season, and Wolverines breaking in a new quarterback on the road, Joe Milton. I've read a lot of hype about Joe Milton. We'll see if it turns out to be true.
6'5", 250
6'5", 250 He can do a backflip, standing backflip. If I tried that, I'd break my neck. I don't know. Could you even make?
No chance.
6'5", 250 You could throw the ball 80 yards And one Wolverines coach said, I hate to put this comparison on him, but he could be a Patrick Mahomes type of player. He's going to be a future first-round pick, if not the number one pick. So if he's the real deal, I might be on the wrong side here with Minnesota. But we got other concerns here with the Gophers. You told me there are reports there are COVID issues inside the Minnesota program. Is that true?
Yep. Yeah. P.J. Fleck being very coy, but says they are dealing with some COVID issues. Won't say who it's affecting. I like Minnesota in this spot, too. Getting points at home with Tanner Morgan back, with Bateman opting back in.
Yeah.
Almost seems a little fishy that.
Hopefully those guys play Saturday.
Yeah, right. Hopefully they're not the the COVID issues there for the Golden Gophers.
All right, quick break on My Guys in the Desert. We come back. Johnny Avello, DraftKings Sportsbook Director, joins us.
Are you VIP material? DraftKings VIPs enjoy exclusive benefits, enhanced promotional offers, top-tier customer support, access to personalized contests, and more. Visit DraftKings.com/VSiN to learn more. Plus, everyone can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers can get up to $1,000 as a sign-up bonus. Sign up with promo code VSiN to claim your exclusive offer. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER, must be 21 or older, New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. Welcome back to My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Avari here with your hosts, Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray.
All right, let's throw it out to Johnny Avello, who I think is near a beach somewhere in California. How you doing, Johnny?
You are correct, Matty, and I'm doing great. Thank you.
DraftKings Sportsbook Director with us. All right, the World Series starts tonight. Dodgers favored over Tampa Bay. Where do you have the numbers for the series and game one, Johnny?
We have game one. We opened up 75 cents. We're down to 59, so we've taken some Tampa money. Opened the total 8, down to 7.5. So a little bit of money on the under. Although it looks like we are one-sided on the game, not true because we've taken quite a bit of money on the Dodgers' money run line. So if it doesn't fall, you know, just one, then we'll be in good shape. But so far, we've got a long way to go. As far as the series price, we're $2, and we've got action both sides on this one.
All right, so you can get the Rays at about plus 170 in that range, 165. The series spread, Tim, do you have any interest in this? How about Rays plus 1.5 games at minus 112?
I like that.
Yeah,
I do.
How many games do you think this series will go?
I feel like it could go 7.
Johnny, what about you? Do you like a side here? Do you think we're going to see a long series?
I don't. I'd like the Dodgers. Tampa Bay's had a remarkable year and certainly, you know, second best according to wins in baseball. But the Dodgers, to me, are just when I look at the Dodgers line of top to bottom, to me, it just looks overwhelming to Tampa. But, you know, it's baseball. Anything could happen. But I just think the Dodgers are the better team here.
Talking to Johnny Avello from DraftKings Sportsbook. And Johnny, looking at the exact outcome in this series at DraftKings, you know, plus 350, Dodgers in 6, plus 400, Dodgers in 1. Where are you guys seeing some money in that exact outcome pool?
Exact outcome, that's spread out a little bit. I would say we're seeing Dodgers to win 4-2, 4-3, those, they're 7-2 and they're a little bit over 4-1. So, they're the shorter prices, but they that's most likely to happen, I guess.
All right, let's get to the NFL We wrapped up week six last night with a disaster in Dallas, Johnny, and we look ahead to week seven. But I want to see how last night's game turned out for you at the sports book. This is a quote from Mike McCarthy, the Cowboys coach, after losing by 28 last night. He said, "I felt like our preparation coming into the game was our best this year. It didn't show up on the field. Zeke coughed up two fumbles. Gallup dropped a TD pass. McCarthy sent out the kicker for a 58-yarder down 21-3, and he missed it. Cowboys were a mess last night, Johnny. How was that result for the book? Because the Dallas side took a lot of money. The favorite flipped from Cardinals minus 2.5 or 3 to Cowboys minus 1 at kickoff, right?
Yes, we did have the line moved, but I got to – quote from Mike. Mike, your team stinks. So you can send that back to Mike. It wasn't an overall good night for us because with both Cardinals and Kansas City getting home, it wasn't a good night for the book, at least for our book.
Yeah, Jane Slater from the NFL Network also tweeted out today that there are now leaks coming out and saying that the coaching staff was, quote, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. And another player, Matt, said, quote, they just aren't good at their jobs.
So. I said, you know, that's probably true, but the players are not good at their jobs right now either. So it's look in the mirror, too. How about the Jets, Tim?
Yeah, I was going to bring this up, Johnny. How, you know, last week when you were in studio, we talked about the will the Jets go winless prop. And it was plus 725 that, yes, they will go winless. Where are those odds now? And are you seeing significant money coming in on the throwing it on that yes prop there for the Jets to go winless?
We are seeing yes money. We're down to $5 favorite now. You know, look, the Jets schedule moving forward is really, really tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to get a win most likely against the Bills here at home. Playing Kansas City. Somebody just asked me what I'd make the number. I told him about 20. So, you know, next 2 weeks don't look good for a W. Maybe against the Dolphins, there's a chance for a win there. You know what I find ironic, guys, is that the Dolphins were in a spot like this last year. We were talking about them as being one of the worst teams ever in the National Football League. There goes a train, by the way, guys. and now this year we're talking about the Jets being the worst team ever in the NFL. So, you know, can the Jets put something together here at the end? I don't think they, first of all, had the schedule that the Dolphins had to get 5 wins. They'll be happy to get 2, maybe even 1. But so is this Jet team the worst of all time? I guess that's the question I have for you guys.
Oh, they they're 0-6 ATS, and I want to go back to the team we saw last night that got their doors blown off, the Cowboys. They're also 0-6 ATS, so we have two teams winless against the number so far, Johnny. And prior to last night's game, Dallas was laying 3 at Washington, and now that game is a pick. What do you anticipate to see money-wise this week for what used to be one of the best rivalries in the entire NFL, and now it is just a cellar-dweller game, even though Dallas is technically in first place? What do you expect to see money-wise, Dallas at Washington, which is at a pick?
Cowboys, Cowboys, Cowboys. I really do believe it. I think they're going to hammer the Cowboys this week. You know, Washington's not a good football team. When the Giants beat you, you know you're not a good football team. So I think it's going to be Cowboy money this week. This game will not go off pick. I think this game will go off back up where it started. Maybe, I don't know if it reaches 3, but it will be just short of that, most likely.
Johnny, real important question here. Was that the Amtrak Pacific Surfliner, or is that that coaster that goes through Del Mar up to Anaheim?
That was the coaster, Matt. Once in a while, a freight comes by, and that's double the noise that the coaster is.
All right. How about this parlay at DraftKings? Got the details here. This is a $50 parlay that was turned into $17,217, and it looks like a 9-teamer. Falcons, Vikings over, Lions minus 3, Cardinals against the Cowboys. This might be an 8-teamer. I don't know if that was a total, but Cardinals minus 1, Steelers, 49ers money line, Titans minus 3.5. How about a lucky win on that? Texans, Titans over 53, and Chiefs minus 4. Was that an 8-teamer or a 9-teamer there, Johnny?
I think it was an 8. And, you know, okay. Matt, it just goes to show you that even if you're a small bettor, you can cash. And, you know, you saw some of the parlays we took this weekend. We took the 2-teamer, Dolphins and Lions for $2 million to win $2.1 million. We also took a 3-teamer for $75,000, 3-teamer money line that paid $210. So it doesn't matter what denomination you're betting. There's a chance to put, you know, the telephone numbers together. Just got to pick correctly. That's all. It's that easy.
It's easy. DraftKings better won a $2 million money line parlay. Lions minus 159, Dolphins minus 385. It pays to bet against the Jets, Tim.
Yes,
bet pays
does.
Out $2.1 million. Both teams easily covered the spread as well. That was a money line bet, though. Johnny, I talked to you yesterday or a couple days ago about the Big Ten coming back this week and how that's going to help the college football handle. How about Nebraska at Ohio State, one of the opening games on Saturday? Buckeyes are 26.5-point favorites at DraftKings. Is this number going to close higher? Do you think Ohio State's going to attract action before kickoff to push that number close to 28, Nebraska at Ohio State?
I would think so. Yeah. You know, Nebraska's not a good football team, and neither team has played, of course, and so that's the reason that you might consider taking the points. If this game was a couple of games in the season, it'd probably open up higher than this. Ohio State is just a team that's bet every week, and against teams like this, against the Nebraskas, against the Illinois, against the Indianas, and they're just going to get hit here too. We open this game a little bit shorter. We open 23.5. It's 26.5. Not going to be surprised to see 27.5 or 28.
Johnny, Clemson is laying 46.5 against a conference opponent in Syracuse. People going to lay the 46.5 with Clemson on Saturday?
Well, since Dungy doesn't play there anymore, I got to go with yes. What will happen in a game like this, Tim, is that it'll grab some action. This is not going to be one of the bigger betting games because the spread's just too high.
Clemson, 46.5-point favorite, and the total is 61.5. Syracuse off
52-3.
Syracuse off an impressive loss to Liberty.
Yeah, as a home dog against Liberty, and they got smacked.
Johnny, how about Alabama? Last question for you here. Alabama 21.5 at Tennessee. How do you think the Tide is? Is this a flat spot for the Tide off the Georgia game, or how would you look at this one?
Yeah, I think this one's a pretty big number. You know, Alabama kind of struggled in the first half last week, and that seems to be kind of their MO for the last couple of years. Nick Saban's is great adjustments coach, and he made it certainly in the second half against Georgia. I think if I was going to play this game, I would probably look at betting the first half.
All right, that's Johnny Avello, DraftKings Sportsbook Director. Johnny, have a good time, and hopefully we'll see you next week in studio.
Thank you, guys.
All right, DraftKings Sportsbook right now has Bama 21.5.
I think I said that to Danny Burke last
What's
night.
That?
Play the first half. Play Tennessee first half
first
on
half?
Saturday.
Tennessee's got a quarterback issue,
Yes,
too.
They do.
All right, second hour, we have a couple guests lined up for you. We're going to talk more college football, more NFL, and obviously World Series.